Hello, friends. This is the Neatarts Friends Church podcast. We are Jesus people, Kingdom of God people, welcoming, yearning, sharing. And we're glad you're connecting here with us. We'd love to connect in person as well. If you're inclined to support this podcast or for more information, just hop on over to neatartsfriends.org. That's neatartsfriends.org. Let's jump into today's sermon. It's an ugly feeling finding yourself on the outside of an inside joke. Watching people you know share a moment and bond, seeing people whispering to one another, the comments to the side, the laughter, the knowing eyes, the mental scramble to try and understand what's happening, why are they laughing? The confusion, feeling like everyone knows something, everyone understands something, they're all on the same page except you. You're on the outside, you're in the dark. The wondering, why weren't you let in on the secret? The wishing that you could be a part of the bonding that's going on. The feelings of isolation, loneliness, inadequacy, alienation, wondering, are they the in-group? Am I in the out-group? Am I the out-group? Don't they know that you appreciate a good joke? Why aren't they telling you? And why? And wondering, what if I ask what the joke is about? Will they tell me? Or are they intentionally leaving me out? And if I bring it up, will that only make everything more painful and more awkward? Are they going to force me to guess or just leave me in the dark? And you try not to second guess yourself and get inside your head in the midst of the social setting, like, am I accepted? Do I belong? Do these people like me? Am I a part of their club? Are they excluding me? You try not to go into the mental spiral where you start to think about how the joke is actually on you. And they're all laughing about you and talking about you behind your back. You look down, you check your zipper, you check your outfit, you check your hair. Are you the scapegoat? Are they all making fun of you? It's an ugly feeling finding yourself on the outside of an inside joke. Now, this doesn't mean that a lot of good can't come from inside jokes. There's often a lot of bonding that happens inside of inside jokes. Oftentimes there's a story that someone has told, even a vulnerable story. They told an embarrassing story to their friends about how they peed their pants, or they accidentally gave the wrong person an affectionate touch, or they tripped in public, or they had a fashion faux pas, or made an embarrassing mistake. And the embarrassment is part of why everyone is being secretive and laughing. They're bonding over this secret information while simultaneously being protective of the vulnerable information. And if you're on the inside, it can be a lot of fun. It can be bonding. But if you're on the outside, it can hurt. So, a reflection question. This was a discussion question for our Sunday gathering. Name something good that you've seen come from inside jokes, and name something bad that you've seen come from inside jokes. So, take a moment and reflect on that, or if you're listening with someone else, chat with them about it. All right. I want to add a layer to the conversation that you were just having, or the reflection you were just having. What is the impact on your spiritual life when your perception or your fear is that you are experiencing the same dynamics that you were just discussing, just reflecting on, but instead of experiencing them with other people, what if your fear is that you're experiencing this with God? What happens when you feel like you're on the outside of God's inside joke? What happens when you feel like God isn't letting you in on the secret? God is leaving you in the dark. Jesus used two different images to describe this perception, this fear, this feeling. One image that Jesus used is lighting a lamp and then hiding it under a clay jar. In ancient Palestine, many homes had a single large room, and they tended to be quite dark inside, and so carpenters would build little nooks, like a small little shelf into the wall. It was a lampstand, and it was specifically for oil lamps. The purpose of putting a lamp on a lampstand was that all who enter the house may see. So that was your light for the entire room, for the entire house. But if you didn't have that light, you couldn't see hardly anything. Hiding a lamp under a clay jar would be absurd. Instead of it being all who enter may see, the light covered under a clay jar, it would be narrowed down to just a small circle of light, just a few inches in diameter. If you happen to be within a few inches of the clay jar, shielding the light from everything else, then you would have the inside light, but everyone else in the house would be in the dark. And that image captures a real perception that people can have of God and of their spiritual experience. You can feel like you tried to enter the house, like you tried to come to God, you tried to come to the light, and you can see that there is light to be had, but it looks like it's a very small circle of light. You can see that there's a super exclusive, super small, elite inner circle in the house that seem to be basking in the light of God, but your perception or your fear, or possibly what people are even communicating to you, is that you're not in the inside of that inner circle of light. You aren't inside of the clay jar. You're on the outside looking in. God has left you in the dark. Sometimes you tell you this, you tell yourself this is what's going on. Sometimes other people tell you, look, you're not in this inner circle, you don't have the right background, you don't have the right pedigree, you don't have the right something to be in this inner circle of light. And so you end up feeling like God has favorites, and somehow you're on the outside of that group. You'll always be playing catch up. Does this resonate at all? Have you ever felt like this? Have you ever struggled with this perception of yourself? Or this perception of God, feeling like other people have light, but God has left me in the dark. It's a pretty small circle of light, and I'm on the outside. The other image that Jesus used to capture this experience is an even more painful image. It's the image of lighting a lamp and placing it under a bed. This wouldn't just be a move of reserving the light for an inner circle. This would be a move of destruction. Jesus was describing a major fire hazard in his day. Beds in ancient Palestine were often made of straw. A lamp placed under a bed would quickly go from not being able to see anything in the house to the entire room erupting in the most destructive of light. Your bed, your entire house going up in flames. And that image also captures a real fear, a real perception of God. It's, I came to God seeking help, helpful light, but the light that God gave me was harmful and destructive light. I came to God, I prayed, I asked for help, And it seems like that's when everything went from bad to worse. God didn't just keep me in the dark. God let my life go up in flames. And in hindsight, people who feel this way, they have this perception, they may say, I wish I never prayed at all. And possibly part of you blames God for the entire thing. Does any of this resonate? Have you ever felt like this? Have you ever struggled with this perception of God? Have you ever felt like you are on the outside of God's inside joke? It brings us to our gospel passage today, Luke chapter 8, 16 through 18. Here's what Jesus says. He says, "No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and there's nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, see how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them." Jesus admits that your perception of your spiritual experience might currently be that there are things that have not yet been revealed. There might be things that feel hidden, that feel concealed. That's a real experience. That's a valid perception. But notice the way that Jesus describes his heart. Jesus uses the everyday logic of oil lamps on lampstands in homes to depict his heart. They put it on a stand so that those who come in may be able to see the light. There's nothing hidden that will not be disclosed. There's nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. What Jesus is saying has to do with his heart towards you and towards humanity. When you feel like you're in the dark and you fear the worst, Jesus' heart is not to use light to harm you. It is not to let your life go up in flames. It is not to leave you in the dark. It is not to reserve his light for the select, for the elite, for a favorite few with the right background and pedigree, whatever that means. The heart of Jesus, the light of Jesus, is always expansive. It's so that all who enter may be able to see. It's always to reveal, to bring more clarity. It is always widening the circle of light, always expanding the light to not withhold the light from anyone. It's at this point that Jesus offers a paradox. As G.K. Chesterton puts it, a paradox is a truth standing on its head, begging for attention. And here it is. Jesus says, "Therefore, see how you hear." Now, that's a strange sentence. See how you hear. Experiences of darkness make you want to see more than anything. You want to try to see, to navigate through the dark space. You want a map to navigate the world you're facing. You're trying to see what's out there. You strain your eyes to see your way through the problems and the questions of your life. When you're in the midst of an experience where your eyes are telling you that you are in the dark and that there are things that you cannot see and that there are things that are hidden or concealed, Jesus doesn't say to you, just look harder, just try harder, just use your eyes more, use your eyes better. No, that's not what he says. Jesus invites you to lean into using a different one of your five senses, listening. Instead of asking, what am I seeing? Jesus says, start asking, what am I hearing? It's almost as if Jesus is describing a kind of light that can enter through the ear differently than through the eye. Personally, I can't tell you how many times I have showed up to a session with my spiritual director and described what I'm seeing in my life, and the entire conversation that I want to have centers around what I'm seeing, my perception of the world, what's going on, what the circumstances are, and I'm trying so hard to see my way through the problems and questions of my life. And my spiritual director gently brings me back around to a different question. What are you hearing? In the midst of all of the darkness and everything that you can't see, what is it that Jesus is saying to you right now? I would much prefer to try to see my way through the darkness. If you gave me the choice, see your way through the darkness or hear your way through the darkness, I'm always going to choose see. I want to see my way through the darkness. Listening my way through the darkness is a much more vulnerable task than trying to see my way through the darkness. It is quite literally standing on the edge of a cliff in the darkness, waiting on the edge of nothing or everything. Sometimes I even try to see by listening. Like I want to ask God a specific question, and even though I'm trying to listen, what I'm actually concerned about is seeing through the dark. But when I'm willing to slow down enough to stop straining my eyes to try to see through the dark, and instead, when I focus all of my energy, all of my seeing on how I am listening, like Jesus says, it happens. It happens without fail. A word emerges. There's some kind of light that is coming, not through my seeing. Something is given from Jesus. And what's given to me often doesn't correspond directly to the question I was asking. There's no one way to describe the experience, but when Jesus says something to you, you know it. It is reality in a way that goes beyond explaining. It is inescapable. Deep down in my guts, I know that this word, this feeling, this image, this direction didn't come from my own mind. It's otherworldly. It's transcendent. It came from outside of me. And it's rarely what I was expecting, but it's exactly what I needed. It's as if Jesus knows that what I actually need is somehow different or deeper than the questions I even knew how to ask. And what I am given rarely answers all of my seeing questions, but at the same time, it gives me something to lean into. It gives me something to trust. There's a different kind of dependency on God required in hearing through the darkness than there is in seeing through the darkness. It requires a different kind of receiving, a different kind of courage, faith, trust, and love. It stretches me. And on the one hand, sometimes I still feel like I'm navigating in the dark, but in another sense, this word that I hear from Jesus feels like light. It feels like hope. And this isn't just my story. Anytime as a pastor that I encounter someone trying to see their way through the darkness, if and when they are able to refocus their seeing on how they are listening, if they can do that, I witness the Spirit of Jesus give them something different than what they were expecting. But it is what they needed. They have something they can hold on to. something to help them face today. Jesus knows how much the darkness makes us want to see. It makes us want to see more than anything in the world. And so we strain our eyes, we try to make out the shapes, and Jesus redirects all of that energy. If you're going to try to see, then see how you hear. The quality of the light that Jesus gives as we see how we listen is a kind of light that is always expanding. Whoever has will be given more. Jesus doesn't want you to learn by simply acquiring new facts. Jesus wants you to learn through deep participation. The word that Jesus uses for listening, akouo, it doesn't just describe like one of the five senses, hearing. Akouo describes taking someone's message in and accepting the content in such a way that you understand and you are changed. Renowned psychologist Scott Peck says, love's primary form is attention. The very best gift that you can give to someone is your listening, your attention, your presence. And if you disagree with that statement, just ask any kid whose parent was never there, never listening, but threw a bunch of money at them. Ask them if they felt loved. Love's primary form is attention. Bible scholar Klein Snodgrass claims that God's biggest complaint in all the Bible is that people aren't listening, that they have a freely chosen deafness. Over 1,500 times in the Bible, the words listen and hear show up. If we never listen, we'll never love. Jesus says, see how you hear. So I want to close today by inviting you into an interactive prayer experience. This exercise, it's not a pass-fail exercise. It's a practice to lean into. So I invite you to get comfortable and relax. Take a deep breath in. Slowly let it out. For some of you, it may help to close your eyes. For others, you may find that you want to cover your eyes with your hands but leave your eyes open. Or you may find that it helps to have your eyes wide open. Whatever helps you focus the most. The first question I want to ask is, what is the dark room that you are in? What is the situation, the question, the problem, the relationship in your life that you've been trying to see your way through lately? I invite you to feel all of that angst as you think about and identify that dark room. Feel all of the problem-solving energy and actually feel it in your eyes. I invite you to feel how your eyes are straining to see through the darkness of it all. So I'm going to just let that sit for a moment. Feel that. Sometimes people say cute little things like, oh, just let it go. But it can be tremendously difficult to let go of all of that problem-solving energy. that you were just feeling in your eyes. Jesus is not asking you to let go of that problem-solving energy. So you don't have to let go of it. Jesus is inviting you to redirect that problem-solving energy from your eyes to your ears. So I want to ask you to imagine all of that energy shifting from focusing on the question, on the problem. Imagine, feel all of that energy shifting to focus on your ears. And it may help you here to actually touch your own face, to feel your fingers physically moving that energy from your eyes, touching your eyes, and sliding that energy across your face over to your ears. See how you hear. And as you shift that energy over to your ears, all of that problem-solving energy to your ears, this is the question I want you to focus that energy on. What is Jesus saying to you in the midst of this? Stop trying to answer whatever you think the question is. Focus all of your energy on listening. What is it that Jesus is saying right now? I'm going to give you a moment to just listen. Was there any word? Was there any image? Was there any phrase, any sentence, any idea that came up for you just now that you would say, I don't know where it came from, but it was there. It felt inescapable. It didn't come from my own mind. It felt like it came from outside of me. If there wasn't, please go easy on yourself. This wasn't a fail. This was just an experiment, a practice. We were trying this out. You may need to see how you listen in a different setting, in a different way. But know that Jesus doesn't mean to leave you in the dark. If something did come up for you, the question is, what does it mean for you to embrace this word from Jesus and to lean into it? You may say, well, the word that I received doesn't feel like it solves everything. Yeah, that sounds like my experience too. But what if this is the word that you actually need to hear the most in order to navigate your world right now? And what if this is part of the healing that you need the most? What does it look like for you to not just treat this word from Jesus like information, like new facts, new data, a new idea. What does it mean for you to treat this word from Jesus like something that prompts you to move into deep participation in your life, to embrace this word as the light that has been given to you for this day, for this part of your journey? What is it that would make Jesus say, "Ah, you really get it"? I want to close today with a blessing for traveling in the dark. This comes from Jan Richardson. A blessing for traveling in the dark. Go slow if you can. Slower. More slowly still. Friendly dark or fearsome, this is no place to break your neck. By rushing, by running, by crashing into what you cannot see. Then again, it is true, different darks have different tasks. And if you have arrived here unaware, if you have come in peril or in pain, this might be no place you should dawdle. I do not know what these shadows ask of you, what they might hold that means you good or ill. It is not for me to reckon whether you should linger or you should leave. But this is what I can ask for you, that in the darkness there be a blessing, that in the shadows there be a welcome, that in the night you be encompassed by the love that knows your name. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has dawned. I cannot tell you how the light comes. What I know is that it is more ancient than imagining, that it travels across an astounding expanse to reach us, that it loves searching out what is hidden, what is lost, what is forgotten, or in peril, or in pain. I cannot tell you how the light comes, but that it does, that it will, that it works its way into the deepest dark that enfolds you, though it may seem long ages in coming, or arrive in a shape you did not foresee. And so, may we this day turn ourselves toward it. May we lift our faces to let it find us. May we bend our bodies to follow the arc it makes. May we open and open more and open still to the blessed light that comes. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Thank you for joining us for a Sunday sermon from Neatarts Friends Church. We hope you'll join us soon for one of our in-person worship gatherings. For more information, hop on over to neatartsfriends.org. God's peace be with you, friends.